And joining us now from CBS Sports, Hall of Famer Dan Fouts. He will be on the call with Ian Eagle for Sunday's game between the Browns and Broncos. First of all, Dan, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Vic. Thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah, so I know, you know, you've had a chance to see the Browns in the past, but not this particular version, which has so many young players. And I guess that's the place to start, Dan, when you've got a rookie quarterback and surrounded by other rookies and rookies on the defensive side. One could say that a 5-win season at this point is not entirely shocking, although, as you know, they've been a very competitive team for most of their games this year.
Well, that's the key, is the competitiveness. And, you know, you talk to people around the league as they look forward to next year, and there's a couple of teams that jump out at you because of their youth. One is Indianapolis, and the other is Cleveland. And, you know, if they can continue to build with the youngsters they have, they've got some real talent there. But it does take time, and I would think that, you know, everybody, all the fans want to go to the Super Bowl every year, but you got to be realistic at times and look at the roster and then look ahead and maybe think that, you know, if we keep building, keep progressing, then maybe someday we'll be there.
And, Dan, they've got a rookie at quarterback, Brandon Whedon. I know you know about him, but I also know that you're doing more studying on him as you prepare for this game. But in general, when the one storyline that's been there is sort of, you know, finding that consistency. He had one of his worst games last week against the Redskins, and I'm not trying to pin a whole loss on one guy, but he did throw two picks that did result in 14 points for Washington, probably his second worst game of the year. But to encounter that as a rookie at this stage of the season, what is the mindset that you can look at from a quarterback's perspective?
Well, yeah, obviously you hope to learn from those mistakes and bounce back and have a good game. And I think it's important that, you know, that Brad Childress gives him a game plan, especially in Mile High. I mean, it's a tough place to play in the best of conditions. But when you're going up against a team like the Broncos and the defense that they've put together this year, you know, they're highly ranked in every defensive category. It's important for Whedon to get off to a good start and get some early completions. I know you hear this all the time, and it almost sounds like a cliche, but it's so true. I mean, to build confidence, and it's not just for the quarterback, it's for the other 10 guys in that huddle and the other guys sitting on the sidelines, especially the defense, thinking that, hey, maybe we can get some points and get a little rest over here, because rest is important in Denver because there's no air there.
Right, right. And when you bring up that challenge of facing the Broncos, you know, you think of Von Miller, you think of Elvis Dumervil coming off those edges as pass rushers, and what that brings to mind for me with Brandon Whedon, so far what I've seen in him is a guy who often is methodical in his work, meaning or a little too deliberate, meaning that I don't know that he's going through everything at quite a fast enough pace. When you're coming up against rushers like that, Dan, can you adjust? I mean, can you not only are you going to ask your linemen to do, you know, hold up their protection and you can do other things to enhance protection, but things have to happen at a quicker pace, right?
Well, and there's no question, and if it doesn't, you're doomed, basically. And any quarterback, regardless of what their year in the league is, they know where the pass rushers are. They know the reputation. They know that teams like to move them around. With Denver, it's unique because you got two good ones on each side. It's kind of like the Indianapolis Colts with Mathis and Freeney. I think these guys at this point of their career are more dangerous than Mathis and Freeney, and it will help if Whedon does speed things up. But basically, Vic, what they got to do is they've got to run the ball and then play action. And play action is the best way of slowing down a pass rush. And if you can do that, then you can be a little bit more methodical in your reads.
Yeah, and they have Trent Richardson, and he hasn't had too many of those breakout type of games. He's not had a lot of explosive runs, but it's amazing, Dan, watching this guy down by the goal line with 11 touchdown rushes, and he broke Jim Brown's rookie record for touchdown runs. He's given this team a dimension it hasn't had, a back who can get into the end zone when they're close.
Well, you know, that's the big thing is to get down there, obviously, and when you've got a weapon like Richardson that can punch it in, it gives the quarterback and the offense so many more options than we just talked about play action, and that's a big part of it as well. But if you've got a guy you can count on like Richardson, then you have something special. But you got to get down to the red zone.
Dan Fouts from CBS Sports, the Hall of Fame quarterback, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dan, an amazing story playing out in Denver. Peyton Manning's comeback year and just looking like the Manning that I think we've always known. How remarkable is it to you that he comes back from that neck surgery and is playing and misses a whole year of football in 2011 and is playing at the level he's been playing?
Yeah, I think he's playing better than he ever has, and that is what kind of adjective you want to use? Unbelievable, incredible, remarkable—they all work. And I just think that, you know, it's a feel-good story too because of the type of guy that Manning is. I mean, he's just first-class guy every which way you want to look at it. Is he the comeback player of the year? I think he is, but Adrian Peterson's right up there too. But when you think about Peterson, he was never really gone.
Right.
You know, he got most of the season in last year, but what he has done is absolutely unbelievable to come back from an ACL. But that's how you define that category, is coming back from, whether it's a neck surgery or four like Manning's had, or a knee injury like Peterson had.
There's something about Manning's game, right, that is so distinct, I think, and every great quarterback, and I would, you know, look at your game and others, Dan Marino, others who have been as prolific as you guys are, Tom Brady, you do certain things, you have certain characteristics that make you special. And I know we've talked about your days with the Chargers and Eric Coryell, it was always about not getting first downs but getting touchdowns. With Manning, it's that orchestration of things at the line. It's kind of all the gesticulations he does with his arms for that are real or fake, but it's unique. Take me through, and I know you've seen enough of this guy to know this, but take me through what makes him so special in how he carries things out during a game.
Well, the word that comes to mind is control. He's always in control, and not only of the offense, but of himself. You talk about a coach on the field. Well, he is absolutely that. I mean, you watch him on the sidelines talking to the offensive line, the running backs, the receivers. He probably even talks to the kickers. I just marvel at the way that he's been able to do this and really set an example for so many other quarterbacks in the league. I mean, Brady is doing the same things the last couple of years at the line of scrimmage, and what I like about it is it's given control back to the quarterback, and you know, that's the way it used to be in the league before coaches decided they were smarter and they could call every play from the sidelines. We know that's not true, Vic, but in some cases it is. And in other cases, you're lucky to have a guy like Manning. But, you know, I think Mike McCoy, their offensive coordinator there in Denver, needs to get a lot of credit for the job he's done, not just this year with Manning, but last year with Tebow.
Right.
You know, he committed an entire offense to Tim Tebow, and all they did was, you know, go on, win the division, and win a playoff game against the Steelers. And now the Manning comes in with his style, and the adjustment that McCoy has made has been part of the reason why the Broncos have won 9 in a row. And when you look at you know, the great coaches, that's a characteristic. You know, fit your system to the players you have and not vice versa.
And as we look at Manning and trying to defense him, the chore that the Browns face defensively is so enormous. And I wonder, I mean, obviously it's possible to have some defensive success against him. Teams did this year. You saw it with the Atlanta Falcons especially. And Mike Nolan had a scheme that had Manning for one of those rare times look befuddled. And I don't know that that's really happened. It doesn't happen often, and I don't know if it's really happened since. But as you consider what the Browns have to do defensively, what would be kind of the areas that you think they need to focus on to have any chance of slowing him down?
Well, number one, it comes with the pass rush and varying the pass rush and not giving him the same look every time. He's so good at recognizing the alignments and the different movements in the defense, but all quarterbacks can be confused. It's basically timing of the defense, how they move, when they move, what looks they give the quarterback. You talked about Nolan. That's what he did in that game early in the season down in Atlanta. That is always going to be the key to stopping any quarterback is pressure and confusion.
Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, Brandon Stokley, they're, you know, all of those guys are good receivers. I mean, maybe others would tell me they're great, but my sense is that their game, each of their performances is elevated so much by Manning. Are you a believer in that? I mean, you're a guy who played with some pretty good receivers, including a Hall of Famer or so of your own. How do you look at how the relationship is between Manning and his receivers and again, Cleveland's task of dealing with them in coverage?
Well, the big thing about both those receivers is that they're big. They got good size, and in Thomas's case, he can really run. Decker's coming back from an injury, and he already has over 70 catches this season, as does Thomas. So they're a handful on each side, but you're right. I mean, Manning has made them to the point where we're talking about them. Nobody was talking about these two guys last year. You know, Thomas had the long pass from Tebow in the playoffs against the Steelers in overtime that won the game. But up until that point, nobody really knew who he was. But now everybody is very aware of both Thomas and Decker.
Nine wins in a row. The Broncos are shooting to get home field advantage, obviously, in the playoffs. The Browns really just, you know, try to play for pride, play for a new owner and a new CEO, new people in charge here in Berea. So when you see a matchup like that, is it just a case where the Broncos should be careful of this type of game, or what do you think?
Well, yeah, you know, anything can happen, and I think that you touched upon new ownership and new decision makers there in Cleveland. There's no higher motivation, at least in my recollection, than job security. You know, you want to impress your new bosses. You want to play next year. You still want to be a part of this young franchise that is looking bright with the youth and the ability this year to win the games that they've won. And to go into Denver and mix up the playoff picture a little bit for the Broncos, that would be quite an accomplishment.
Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
I appreciate it, Vic. Thanks for having me on. Happy holidays, man.
Yes, same to you and your family. He is Dan Fouts from CBS Sports. He will be on the call with Ian Eagle on Sunday's game between the Browns and Broncos. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.